Welcome to Unlocking Markets, a new RBC Blue Bay podcast. This is the place where we will be looking to bring you experts across the firm providing opinions on markets, global policy, sustainability, and macroeconomics, and how these feed into our investment decisions. I'm David Horsburgh, Head of Client Solutions, and today I'm joined by my colleague Pierre-Henri de Montes de Savas, Senior PM and Head of Convertible Bond Strategies at RBC Blue Bay. Thanks for joining me today, Pierre-Henri. I'm particularly glad to speak with you today as it feels like we're in an environment of higher uncertainty. There is a slight paralysis in the market where sentiment shifts on pretty much a daily basis. While a lot of conversations around investments are very stop-start at the moment, convert seems to be one of the few areas where investors can engage today without necessarily looking for a change in valuations. Why do you think that is?
Well, thank you very much, David. I think you're absolutely right. The key word here is uncertainty. Uncertainty keeps coming in discussions with market participants, with investors. Uncertainty about the economic scenario. Many investors think we might have a recession in the US. Uncertainty about the monetary policy. We're not quite sure what the Fed is going to do next. Uncertainty about inflation as well, which is a very new thing. This is the first time we have meaningful inflation in the past almost 20 years. So uncertainty is really key. And in face of uncertainty, investors are looking for ways to protect their portfolios when volatility is going to rise. And this is a very strong view from our side that at some stage, volatility will pick up. And they're looking for ways to diversify. And that's why converts have, we think it's got a role to play in that risk mitigation and diversification movement.
Thanks, PH. I definitely see that. I think when we look at the markets at the moment, you've had a lot of commentary around whether we're in a bull or a bear market. And it feels like converts is a way to keep optionality open while looking at trying to deploy risk in the current environment. Why do you think that is from a converts perspective?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Look, especially coming at it from an equity investor perspective, you want to retain some equity exposure. You're not quite sure where the market's going to be. But at the same time, with it is going to be a bull or a bear market or what kind of timing we're going to see. So you want to retain some exposure, but you want to reduce risk. Convertible bonds, because of this bond component that protect equity investor against very large drawdowns, are a very nice way to do that, to achieve this, maintain exposure, don't try to time the market, just mitigate risk. And in fact, this is really appealing to a number of investors at present. We have one large investor in Australia who has been using converts as part of their equity allocation precisely to that end, to mitigate risk in their portfolios. And in times of high volatility, this has worked very well for them.
In terms of markets, do you see this environment being localized within the current sort of set of macroeconomic factors that we're dealing with, or do you think this is more of a secular shift going forward? Is this heightened volatility here to stay for at least a little while?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because many investors, many market participants think that we are changing regime. When you think about it, since the global financial crisis, and you can even say since the Y2K bug of 2000, central banks have been extremely accommodative. We've been in this constant accommodative monetary policy with very low inflation. And all of a sudden, we have a lot of inflation and a sense that central banks are not really on your side anymore. So obviously, there's a sense that we are changing regime and that going forward, we're going to have more inflation, less accommodative monetary policy, and you know, a number of challenges as well in terms of reshoring, in terms of environmental policies, in terms of trade tensions, and all this is going to add up to build a new investment landscape. And I think convertible bonds, as I said already, I think it's an asset class which does very well in an uncertain world. I think they've got a big role to play in portfolio diversification.
Yeah, and this seems like an interesting strategy for investors who have mainly been invested across the equity spectrum over the last couple of years. So a good way to diversify that exposure through converts rather than some of the other defensive equity strategies that they might have tried to play in the past. I know from looking at some of this, there are differences in the way that the converts universe is structured relative to some of the low volatility or defensive equity strategies. Are you able to talk about that a little bit? Just give us a sense of what that might be.
Of course. Convertible bonds are a low-risk asset class. Their level of risk is comparable to fixed income asset classes. This is because they've got a bond component. So as an investor, when you buy a convertible bond, your ultimate risk is a fixed income risk. If things don't go well, you're left with a bond and a claim on the company. So that mitigates your downside. And historically, it's helped investors to have a fixed income risk. However, at the same time, because you own this optionality to convert, you can participate into the equity upside, and that's where it gets attractive for equity investors. So, from a risk perspective, whether you allocate to low vol equities or to convertible bonds, you're going to achieve some kind of risk mitigation. You're going to achieve a lower risk, no doubt about that. Now, where the difference lies is in terms of sectors. What kind of companies issue convertible bonds as compared to low-vol equities? Convertible bonds have a bias towards high-growth companies. Low-vol equities have a bias towards more defensive, high-dividend-paying equities. Low-vol equities have done fantastically well over the past few years. And I think one reason for that is precisely because we were in this environment where interest rates would constantly go lower in a way, and that central banks would keep being accommodative. I think that going forward, this trend will be challenged. And so I think that for the same level of risk, you would prefer to look for other asset classes. And I think that's why converts look attractive at present.
Yeah, and I think this concept of yield as well around converts is a really interesting one as well. Even if there are moments of sort of weakness for equity markets, you're still getting paid this coupon associated with the bond, which I know historically has been close to 1% or even lower. But now with the reset in rates, it's much higher. So you definitely benefit from this income positioning. In terms of the growth environment that you just mentioned, one of the things that I don't think we could get away without mentioning is AI and the recent excitement around that, specifically around equity positioning. Is the AI theme playing out in convertible bonds at the moment?
Yes, absolutely. The convertible bonds are a preferred instrument for fast-growing companies when they need to raise capital quickly to invest. We're not quite sure what are going to be the implications of AI in the long run over the full economy. However, it seems that we're going to have a wave of CapEx in the tech sector related to AI. Experts don't necessarily fully agree but on the exact number. However, the proportion of data centers which are AI ready is probably between 5 and 15%. So it's really low. Those data centers need to be upgraded, which means that in terms of semiconductors, in terms of software, there will be a number of companies that will see a boom in investment and in revenues, of course, on the back of this AI revolution. And I think converts will naturally play their part in that CapEx expansion. Because, as I said, for fast-growing businesses, they are a quick and easy way to raise capital. And we've seen that time and again. And so definitely that will be if this CapEx wave comes to fruition, converts will benefit.
And just Staying on the subject around how the convertible universe is structured, I think a lot of the focus over the last couple of months has been around the US and what's happening in that equity market. And I know the convertible bond universe is global, especially the one that you look at. Are you able to talk about how the geographical exposure is structured at the moment and where you see the biggest opportunities from a regional perspective?
Together with the team, we look at opportunities in convertible bonds across all regions. And I think you're right. Geographic diversification will be a very important theme in the coming years. US has been such a big winner during QE. We think that could change. You mentioned Japan, which is seeing a big revival. European equity markets have started doing a lot better as well. And all these regions are present in the global convertible bond universe. Just to give you an idea, as a rough guide, 40% of convertible bonds are issued by US issuers, around 30% by European issuers, and the rest is in between Asia and Japan. So it's very well diversified geographically. And I think more and more we'll see opportunities arising outside of the US. And that can also be a good argument for investors to look at converts.
Thanks, PH. I think it's a really interesting opportunity, especially from an equity mindset perspective. I guess one question I would have to ask is, given the hybrid nature, when you're looking at converts, where do you come at it from? Are you looking at it as a bond investor or an equity investor?
Well, when you invest in convertible bonds, you need to have a really holistic approach. You need to look at the business from all angles, I would say. And that's what makes it really interesting in a way. If things go really bad and the company gets in trouble, you want to understand what's going to underpin the value of your investment. You could say even your recovery. So what about intangible assets? What about actual assets? Could this business be taken over? What is the core value of that business if things really start being really bad, right? And at the same time, at the other end of the spectrum, you need to think about opportunities. How is this business going to develop? Where are the growth opportunities? What is going to drive my value proposal from an equity perspective? So that makes it challenging, but also very interesting. I think the most important for us when we select convertible investment is to avoid value traps. So value traps would be a very safe company from a credit perspective, but with no growth prospects. So what's the point of that? You might as well buy a traditional bond. Or you can have a company which is very exciting, which has very exciting growth prospects, but maybe it's not very well managed. Maybe the asset quality is quite poor. And so if things don't go as planned, you'll be massively exposed. So this is the beauty, in a way, of investing in convertible bonds and the elements you need to consider when making investments.
It seems like you really have to just basically have a mind open to all the factors affecting these businesses. On that theme, ESG is definitely a topic that seems to be coming up more and more with both companies and investors. Is this something that plays into the converts universe and the analysis you take out on these companies?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that all market participants, and especially us, we've been focusing on sustainability and ESG analysis. This is, I would say, it's most of what we do these days when we look at businesses, when we talk to management teams. It's such a key element for us. And we think that it's already an element of differentiation in performance between assets, but it would be increasingly so in the coming years. 2022 was interesting because I think that ESG considerations were really on the back burner. They didn't play as much of a role as in previous years, but we think this is a bit of a pause in a more profound trend. And so going forward, we think better businesses, businesses with better sustainability prospects will be rewarded. And so we continue to screen for those.
And that, again, I think is a really interesting way of looking at the universe in terms of what the go-forward picture is. But before we get onto that, today the converts market has seen a bit of an uptick in issuance at the same time as other markets are maybe a little bit quieter, less IPOs, less corporate bond issuance. I'm curious to get your thoughts on why you think that is. What's driving this renewed focus from the converts market or converts as an asset class?
One simple answer, higher rates. When rates are very low, all-in rates are very low, companies are naturally incentivized to issue traditional straight debt because they pay very low coupons. So why bother in a way? Obviously, interest rates have risen significantly, enormously, which means that some businesses, even very high quality businesses, very high credit quality businesses, are facing much higher interest rate cost. And that impacts the profitability. And so CFOs are incentivized to look for other ways, other means of financing with lower coupons. And converts are exactly that. As an investor, when you buy a convert from a company, you're giving away a bit of coupon, and in exchange, you're getting an equity optionality. So this is a very attractive environment, both for companies to issue, but also for investors, because if you're ready to give up that bit of coupon, you can get very attractive upside optionality. And we think this is going to be a big driver of performance for the asset class in the coming years, a pickup in the primary market.
So based on the activity you're seeing in markets today, what does that do to your outlook for the asset class going forward over the next 12 months to maybe even further out to 3 years?
Look, it's difficult, as we explained earlier, taking a view on direction of markets is really hard. I think converts will outperform other asset classes, because, as I said, we'll see primary market issuance, which historically has always been a boost to performance, because we will see flows from equity investors trying to reduce their risk and diversify their portfolios. I think also we might see fixed income investors trying to avoid long duration assets and volatility on interest rates. And I think also that convertible bonds, the optionality embedded in convertible bonds is generally cheap. We had this big market dislocation at the beginning of 2022. It created what I would call a deep value opportunity for converts, and the asset class has only started re-rating. So we really see 2023 as the beginning of a new cycle in terms of valuation for convertible bonds.
Thanks, PH. I think, we've covered quite a lot of the universe at the moment, and I think it sounds like a really interesting opportunity, especially from all angles, depending on whether you're coming from it from an equity or a fixed income perspective. So thank you for your thoughts on that. Finally, I just wanted to kind of ask a question. It's an asset class that I think a lot of clients are unfamiliar with. But it's probably a more curious question around how did you actually get into the asset class in the first place? Did you come from the equity side or the fixed income side, or did you come from the third option entirely?
I'm coming from the risk side. My background is in pricing equity derivatives and also fixed income derivatives, as a matter of fact. And I was managing risk in previous jobs. And because this asset class has a fairly strong quant component and derivatives component in pricing optionality, of course, and that's how I came to manage convertible bonds. So that's an interesting question. I think there are quite a few of us in the same position. We started looking at derivatives and came to the asset class afterwards.
So you don't need to be a quant to investing convertible bonds, but it sounds like it helps.
I think the thing about convertible bonds is that you can be a former equity investor. You can come at it from a credit investor. You can come at it from a more from a risk perspective, maybe, which is more my background. It's a challenge, of course. There are many moving parts, but there are also so many angles, so many opportunities. So it's very dynamic. It's moving a lot. I enjoy it.
Thanks, Pierre-Henri. That was an incredibly enlightening discussion. I think we managed to cover an incredible lot over a fairly short amount of time. And hopefully we've given people some thoughts around a different way of tackling their equity market exposure today. Really appreciate your thoughts and your time. And I hope we'll get a chance to do this again at some point. If you're enjoying the show, please like and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Good luck and goodbye. Thank you very much.
This podcast is issued by RBC Blue Bay or one of its entities. Please check the entire RBC Blue Bay disclaimer at the following website, www.rbcbluebay.com/podcast-disclaimer. This podcast is provided for informational purposes only. It is not intended, nor should it be intended, as investment, tax, or legal advice. This podcast does not constitute an offer to sell, nor is it a solicitation of an offer to purchase any security or investment product in any jurisdiction. This podcast is not available for distribution in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be prohibited, and it is not aimed at such persons in those jurisdictions. Past performance is not indicative of future results. RBC Blue Bay makes no express or implied warranties or representations with respect to the information contained in this podcast, and hereby expressly disclaim all warranties of accuracy or completeness or fitness for a particular purpose. RBC Blue Bay is under no obligation to update the information in the podcast or to reflect changes after the publication date. The information contained in this podcast is believed to be reliable, but RBC Blue Bay cannot and does not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness. The document is intended only for professional clients and eligible counterparties as defined by the Markets in Financial Instruments Directive or in the US by accredited investors as defined in the Securities Act of 1933 or qualified purchasers as defined in the Investment Company Act of 1940 as applicable and should not be relied upon by any other category of consumer. No part of this document may be reproduced, redistributed, or passed on directly or indirectly to any other person or published in whole or in part, for any purpose, in any manner, without the prior written permission of RBC Blue Bay or one of its entities.